Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Tanis Chaf. We begin at the second wide line. So it's going to be Tanu Rabbanan. This was after the story we learned yesterday regarding Nakdimon Ben Gurion, this fellow who purchased all that water from the Odoin, from this governor, to benefit Yisrael, who oil the regal. It turns out it wasn't raining until the very last day. And Hashem made a nes, a double nes. Firstly, it rained, filled up those wells, which he had loaned from the guy. Secondly, Hashem lengthened the day, held up the sun, so that all will see that it was still daytime, that it rained before a deadline. Tanu Rabbanan, he wasn't the only one who experienced that type of nes. In fact, Shleisha nikdema lahem chama bavurim. There were three individuals, three worthy individuals, who Hashem was magdim nikdema, some say means like magdim, advanced, lengthened, prolonged, advanced the daylight to sundown, meaning Hashem lengthened the day, held up the sun on their behalf. Who are these three? Moshe Rabbeinu, V'Yoshua, V'Nagdimon Ben Gurion. Explains the Gemara. V'Yishleim V'Nagdimon Ben Gurion. That we know. Gemara, that was the story we had yesterday, where Hashem held up the sun, lengthened the day, so that's clearly visible that it rained before deadline. Yoshua Namikra. Yoshua's experience is also recorded in the Pasuk. The sun was silent, Rashi Nebuchadnezzar explains. When the sun is in movement, then it's sinking to Hashem. It's in motion, it's alive, it's active. Every creation of Hashem sings to Him, connects to Him. When it fulfills the mission that Hashem designed for that particular element of the Bria, when the sun is moving, it's functioning. It's fulfilling its tafkid. It's singing to Hashem. Here, the sun stood still, lengthened the day, and as Mefarshim explained, based on a Medrash, the sun symbolizes nature, source of life in this world, and that's associated with the Goyim. They draw their power from the sun. When the sun stops moving, when it remains silent, that weakened the Goyim, and that allowed Yeshua to prevail over the Malachim, the non-Jewish kings, who he was battling. What do we see at Moshe Rabbeinu? Experienced the same thing. Amar Blaza Asya, we learn from Agzera Shava using the words Achel over here and Achel over there. Ksiv Achel. Ksiv Hacha. It says over here, that's by Moshe Rabbeinu. Achel teis pachtacha. This was by the Mocham of Sicha and some say Oig. So Hashem will publicize, will spread the pacham, awe and fear of Moshe Rabbeinu amongst all the nations. Apnei ha'amim tachas kol ha'shamayim. So we have the term ochel, uksiv hasem by Yeshua. It says, ochel gadelcha, I will begin to spread your fame. And what happened over there? Eventually, sun stood still, and everybody got wind of the fact that Yeshua has authority. Yeshua is highly regarded by Hashem. So in both cases, we have the word ochel, we connect the two. Just that Yeshua experienced nikta mochama, Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Reb Shmuel bar Nachmani Omar, asya teis, teis. We connect it by way of another gzera shava using the word teis. Ksiv hochel ochel teis pachtacha. By Moshe Rabbeinu it says teis pachtacha. Ksiv hasam by Yeshua it says, b'yayim teis Hashem asemur. Reb Yechon Omar, asya mikufi dekro. Look at the pasuk itself. It's clearly indicative of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu indeed had this experience. Hashem tells Moshe, during the war that you're going to conduct, everybody will be gripped with regez and pachad because of you. How's that? What caused that? Were they gripped with fear because of you? When the sun stood still, everybody realized who they're associating with, the power of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the pasuk itself indicates that he experienced this type of thing. So it's still, and everybody, tachas kol ha-shamayim, which is also a remez, say the Mefarshim, it's also a remez to the fact that they experienced something, some unusual phenomenon in the shamayim. So everybody experienced it, noticed it, and was gripped with pachad. So there were three tzaddikim who experienced this thing, Moshe, Yeshua, and Akdimun Meguri. Moshe spoke about unusual, unnatural hardships. So it's raining in one town and not in the town next door. It's actually a pasuk that the Mishnah brings, that I'm going to be mamter in one city, which means one city will be saturated, over flooded, and the other town will be totally dry. Both are klolas. Both are afflicted with hardship and tsar. They have no rain and they have too much. The Paskin Echa says Yushalayim was regarded like a nida amongst the nations. We're going to have a list of psukim which are going to be interpreted by Rabbi Yehuda Marav. And the chiddush will be that although perhaps the simple meaning of these psukim indicate klola, negative connotation, says Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, you meant to know, it appears like a klola on the surface, but really, truthfully, it's a blessing in disguise. How do you say Yerushalayim by name? We compare Yerushalayim to a nid. Amar Rabbi Marav, it's actually a blessing in disguise. Livrach, why? We compare to a nid. It's not long term. Can nid, my nid yish leheter, just as a nid will become tar and mutal for a husband. Af Yerushalayim yish letakana. Likewise, Yerushalayim eventually will shake off this gullus and come back to Hashem. The pasuk says, Eicha yashav adad, right? Hoysuke almana. We compare Yerushalayim to almana. It seems like the worst thing. A widow who misses her husband. Amar Rav Yehuda, no, live racha. It's a limited klal. It's really a bless. It contains a bracha in it. Why? Because it's a b'sura toiva for good things to come. Ke almana v'lay almana mamish. Firstly, it doesn't say Haisa almana. She lost her husband. Ke almana. It's a comparison. Somewhat like an almana, but not really. She still has a husband. Her husband took a trip. We'll be back soon. Eloke isha shalach bala. Lamdina sayam. Like an isha whose husband took a long trip. V'datoy. Lachzir aleha. He intends on returning here as well. True. The Mefarshim point out that an almana, on the one hand, that's a very difficult, but time heals after a while. The pain lessens. That's just human nature, Hashem may say, after a while, after 12 months. The mace is mishtakech min alev. The effect is lessened, but if the person's still alive, then Rashi and Chumash brings it by Yaakov and Yosef. He refused to be mekabel tanchumin, Rashi says, because ein mekabel tanchumin al achai. The gzera that a person should forget, that's only by a mace. If one is really still alive, it's hard to console him. So on the one hand, an almana has an advantage, as difficult, as traumatic as it is, but it gets forgotten after a while, somewhat. If it's only ki almana, her husband's still around, there's no possibility of consoling, of nichumim. The memory's here, it's fresh. It's not going away. So on the one hand, it's a disadvantage, but there's a mala, it's an advantage because her husband will come back. Asad v'date lachzer aleha. And first I point out that there are two levels of severity being described here. First nida and then almana. Because really the psukim, the order of the psukim, other way around. The first pasuk in Eicha describes Yerushalayim as kalmana, and later on it's nida. But the Gemara chooses to list them in the reverse. First nida, because nida is still fully married. It's just a tumma there, a temporary separation. That's a lower level gullus. And then the pasuk describes an even more severe level of gullus if Kal Yisrael are deserving of that more severe galus, but still, it's still limited. It's only ke'almana. Her husband will come back. Over to the next pasuk, which Rabbi Yehuda Rav is going to explain for us. V'gam ani nosati eschem nivzim u'shfelim. Pasuk of Malachi says Hashem will have the Bnei Yisrael be considered nivzim, degraded, shfelim, low down, not highly regarded amongst the nations. So you think it's a klala? No. Amar Yehuda, lib bracha. It's a blessing in disguise. You know what? This helps us keep a low profile, which is beneficial for Klal Yisrael. Avoid the limelight. Avoid anti-Semitism. The loy mukli minan. The Goyim will not appoint us. Loy reishi nahari. Not as toll collectors in charge of the river crossings. Veloy gzirifti. Not law enforcement officers. They're not going to appoint from us to these high positions where inevitably the Goyim will be jealous of us. It's going to create animosity. Hashem has the Goyim treat us nivzim ushfelim, like low down, unworthy of this position. In which case, they don't appoint us. We remain in low profile, and that serves to our benefit. V'yikah Hashem es Yisrael kasher yonud hakona b'mayim. This is a pasuk in Malachim. So Hashem will strike Israel, will punish Israel, and place them like a kana, like a reed that sways back and forth at the stream. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Rav, once again, live bracha. It's actually a blessing in disguise. Sure, we're being thrown about in gullets from one nation to the other, from one land, from one country to the other, but we're still there. We sway back and forth and back, but we still exist. What does the pasuk in Mishlei mean when it says ne'emanim pitzei oyev? The wounds inflicted by a loved person, by an oyev, one who looks after you, are ne'emanim, I trust that are beneficial for your good. V'ne'etores nishikos soini, as opposed to the kisses coming from an enemy. Ne'etores, Rashi learns in the second pshat, it's a load, it's heavy, unwanted. You can have a kiss which you don't want. You can have a patch which you want. Toiv klala shekile el achia shiloni Yisrael. The curse given by achia shiloni to Yisrael is greater, more beneficial. Yoyisim bracha, even greater than the bracha which they received from who? Shebircham Bilam Arasha. She got from Bilam. How's that? Achia shiloni kilam bekana. Achia says, Klal Yisrael, you're going to be like a kana. Amalem Yisrael. He tells Klal Yisrael, "V'yikah Hashem is Yisrael kasher yonad hakana." Hashem will strike Yisrael and give you the life, give you the existence, which is symbolized in a kana, a reed. How's that? On the one hand, has a tumultuous life. It's always swaying. It's unstable. We're in gullus, running around. But there is a blessing inherent in this type of lifestyle. Ma kana ze oimid mokemayim, just as a kana. Where does he thrive? Where does he grow? Mokemayim, by the stream. So he's constantly nourished. We're nourished by the Torah, wherever we go. V'gizei machlev. You trim him, he grows back. The guy who strike us, we revitalize. We come back. V'sharosha merubin has lots of good roots, keeping him strong and healthy. Have all the winds in the world come and blow at him. They don't budge him. What then? He sways back and forth. He's easygoing. He submits. He does not resist those winds. Klal Yisrael, I'm meant to take a low profile. Submit to the winds. Allow yourself to be swayed back and forth. Listen to the Nevi'im who are giving you Teichacha. Do Teshuva. Be easygoing. Be submissive. Damamu Aruchais. Once the winds die down, Amad HaKamimim Kaimim. Suddenly the Kan is erect again. He's been knocked out this way, knocked that way, but there he goes. He's standing up again. that the true description of Klal Yisrael's godless experience were thrown about, persecuted, were blown in all directions. At the end of the day, we stand straight up again. So this sort of klala, expressed by Achia Shiloini, you're going to experience the life of a kana on the surface as a negative connotation. But in reality, it denotes eternal existence. So even in Gulos, we have the mayim, we have the roots, we have everything that keeps us alive. True, we're thrown around, but at the end of the day, we exist. Our Torah, our emunah b'tachan, keeps us in place. Avo Bilam Arasha, as opposed to Bilam Birchan Beres, he compared Klal Yisrael to a cedar tree in a so-called bracha, shenema karazim. You're like cedar trees, but it's a very limited bracha. You know what he really had in mind? He had in mind that once you're taken out of your habitat, you're thrown about, you'll be destroyed. My error is there, just like a cedar tree. He doesn't naturally grow by water. He needs to be watered. And if it doesn't have water, it dies down. Another disadvantage. Once you trim him, he doesn't grow back. Doesn't have much roots. True. When the winds come and blow, typically, he stands firm, he's unaffected. But when a real strong wind comes, that's it, it's over. Once a suddenly wind comes, a stormy wind comes along and blows him, what happens? It's going to uproot him, turn him on his face, it's over. That's what he had in mind, Bilam HaRasha. He presented it as a brach. Well, you're like a rozim. What he really meant is, right now you're safe. Mesh Rabbeinu, the Torah. As soon as some adversity hits, a strong wind comes along, you'll be uprooted. And you'll no longer exist. But Achia knew likewise, knew otherwise. He knew that the Torah, not the land, not being together, wherever we are, the Torah, the Emunah, the Mitzvahs, our spiritual nationality, that keeps us alive, that keeps us intact. V'loy, not only that, what else is symbolized in a kana, in a reed? Ela shezocha kana, lita le'emenu, kumus lichtaboy, sefer Torah, nevi'im uksuvim. Apparently they used to use a kana, a reed, we use a quill, but a kana was zoicha. They use it as an instrument to write Sefer Torah, Nevi'im Uksuvim. So the connection between Yisrael and the Kana very much highlights our commitment to Torah, which keeps us throughout the Golos. Tana Rabbana, Lo'olam Yeh Adam Rach Kekana. It's a lesson for life. A person should seek to be soft, easygoing, like a reed. Allow yourself to be pushed around. Va'al Yeh Kasha Ke'eres, rather than being rigid and firm like a cedar tree, which looks imposing, but eventually it does fall apart. In fact, there was a masa to prove this point. Masa Shabbat Rab Lezer, Rab Shimon, Migdal Gedur, and Beis Rabbi. Rab Shimon was on the way back from Migdal Gedur, from his Rebbe's yeshiva. He had learned a lot of Torah. He was all proud of himself. He was riding on a donkey, and taking a leisure trip around the river, and was in a state of joy and ecstasy. Vaitadata Gasalov. He was all proud of himself. Ibn Shalomat Raharbe. He just finished his man in the yeshiva. Life could not be better. So who does he meet? Nizdamalayodamechad. He bumps into this fellow. Taisus brings it in Sechas Derecheretz that this fellow was Eliyahu Novi Zachalatoiv. He was trying to tempt him, to test him, to teach him a life lesson. What happened with this fellow? So he greets this Adam Echad, show you Mechur B'yoyis, looked very, had a very unpleasant appearance. Amalei, this fellow turned to Blazer and he says, Shalom Lecha Rabbi. So he sort of treated him like an equal. Hey, Shalom Lecha Rabbi. Blazer didn't think it was appropriate for a plain person to greet a Talmud Chacham like that. But he just ignored him. In fact, he tells him, Amalei, you know, I have a question. Reka, are you empty, fellow? Kama mechur oisa ish. Look how ugly you are. And Yaakov explains that his uncouth appearance was to Rav Elazar ben Shimon an expression of emptiness. The pasuk says, "Chachmas odam toir panav." The chachma of a person lights up his face. This fellow was so unattractive and unpleasant looking that Rav Elazar figured this fellow is probably just totally empty, totally amaretz. Nothing to say for himself. In fact, he doesn't even have derech eretz. Look how he greets me, Shalom lecha Rebbe. So that's why I respond to him in this harsh way. Look how ugly you are. Shema kol bnei ircha mechorim kamoyscha. Tell me something. Is everybody else in your city like you? Everybody else has the same appearance like you? Amar lahi. So this fellow responded with a glint of wisdom here. Firstly, he says, "Any idea? You know what? That's a good question. I don't know." And this actually was an expression of derech eretz. You know, the Gemara says the person should always train himself to respond in an uncommittal way. He's not sure, just any idea. Shema te'achis, the Gemara says, perhaps he'll end up saying the wrong thing. And don't take, just say any idea. This fellow was actually smart. It was an expression of derech eretz, any idea. That's first of all. Number two, he said, Ela leich ve'emor le'uman shasa'ani. He's speaking about the fact that I'm ugly. Don't complain to me. I have a maker. I have a master. Hashem made me. Go complain to him. And tell him, Kama mechur, klizeh shasis. Look how ugly the kli is. This was a glint of wisdom as well. He responded in a sharp way. So Rav Elazar saw that this fellow is not an ordinary person. He appears to have some chachma and some derech eretz. So he regretted having said his words. Now that he realized that he spoke inappropriately. Yorad Menachemur. Rav Elazar came off the donkey. Nishtatech lefanav. He thrust himself in front of him. Va'amarlein, he tells him, Na nesilach. I accept the criticism. Mechayli, please forgive me. Amarlein, eini meichelach. No, I refuse to forgive you. That wasn't a personal offense. You offended Hashem. Who made me? Achatech l'uman shasani. I can't forgive you until you go to the craftsman who made me. Go back to Hashem. Va'amarlein complained to him. Kama mochur klizeh shasis. Look how ugly the kli is. Hay matayil achram. So Rav Elazar was following this fellow atchei gil yir until he came to the city of his fellow. Yotzu bnei yir lekrosay, and the people in the city came out to greet the tzaddik Rav Elazar ben Shimon. For yoyim loy shalom lecha Rebbe Rebbe. Meiri meiri. They greeted him with great respect. Shalom lecha Rebbe Rebbe. Meiri meiri. Armalem. So this ugly fellow turns to his fellow landsman. He says, what's the big excitement? Let me at them kairim Rebbe Rebbe. Who are you calling Rebbe Rebbe? Amrullah, what do you mean? Lezeshem talach arech, look behind you. Big Talmud Chacham, a world-renowned scholar behind you. Amrullah, so he turns to them, imzer Rebbe. If he's a Rebbe, al yirbu kamoisi bi Yisrael. I wish there wouldn't be too many like him in Yisrael. Amrullah, so they asked him, Ma, what's wrong? What do you have against him? Amrullah, so he told him the whole story. Kach v'kach asali. Look what he did to me. Look what he said to me. He spoke in a very offensive way. And I assume his purpose was to tell him to keep away from him. He's in a position of influence. It was a tayelis. They have to know who he is. They shouldn't be affected by him. Amrullah, so his fellow townsmen tell him, look, Ava Bekein, you're right, but still, Mechayloi, forgive him. Sh'adam Gadol B'Teiru, he's a great Torah scholar. So he slipped up, be Mechayloi. Amalam, so he tells him, okay, B'Shvilchem, I'm really Mechayloi, I'll do it for you. U'Bilvad, Sh'lei Heirog Elasas Kein. As long as he promises not to do it again. Now, the Lashon Rog Elasas Kein sounds like, as long as he's not doing it habitually, it's okay, but of course, that's not what he meant. So the Farshim say, I think the Marsha, what caused them to speak like that? So we had a whole introduction. He was coming back from learning. He was all proud of himself. That brought about this type of attitude. He should make sure he shouldn't accustom himself to, these midos rois, to gav and all these things which can lead to this type of attitude. Miyad nichnas Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon v'darash. Immediately Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, he took the lesson to heart. He came into the Beis Medrash and he announced as follows: I have something to teach you, a life lesson. Lo'ilam ye adam arachi kan, a person should seek to be soft, easy going like a reed, should allow himself to be swayed back and forth. Va'al yehi kasha ke'eres, rather being firm, stiff, haughty, stubborn, like a cedar tree. Ulefichach, and that's the very reason why zocha kana, the reed was zocha, to be involved in writing Sefer Torah, because of his humility, his anava. Zocha kana lita lemena kumas, to be used for as a writing instrument, lichtei bei Sefer Torah, tefillin amusus. The Rishon spoke about v'chein ir sheyesh b'dever ma'pilus, a city which is experiencing a plague, or ma'pilus. The structures, the buildings, are collapsing during the windstorms. Tanu rabbanan ma'pilus she'amru. We speak about buildings collapsing. B'riyos, it's only if they're structurally sound. Then the wind blowing them down is something unusual. V'loi ru'ois, as opposed to flimsy, precarious structures to begin with. That's not a sign of a tzorah. She'enin ru'il aslipa. Only structures which are not meant to fall apart, that are indeed collapsing. V'lo yiru'il aslipa, as opposed to structures which are meant to fall apart. Weak structures, there. That's not a simon of a tzorah. Well, isn't this a repetition? Hainiu b'riyos. The healthy structures are hainiu, the same ones, she'enin ru'il aslipa, which are not meant to fall. Likewise, hainiu ru'ois. Those structures are flimsy and shaking. Haini ru'is lipo, those are the ones that are meant to fall. Why does Bryce have to repeat itself? The Bryce comes to include a case where we have a sound structure but improperly designed. The naflu machmas gov hayu. They're disproportionately built, they're too high, and they're not properly structured. So although they're healthy and strong, but in that case, if it falls down due to a strong wind, that's not a tzara. It's not something unexpected. Inami, in another case, the Kaiman Aguda. You have a solid built structure, but sitting at the riverbank where the river will erode the foundations, and of course it's going to fall down. The Kaiman Aguda on the bank, the Nahara of the river. So the point here is all one and the same. If it's a healthy structure, whether because it's structurally sound and it's material and it's built, or the fact that it's properly designed, etc., then falling apart is considered a tzorah, which requires tanis and trua, as opposed to something which is expected. A weak structure, precarious structure, not improperly built structure, whether due to flaw in design or in location, in that case, is no concern. Says the Mark Yahya Shisa, there was an example of this cave, of this collapsing walls. We had this Ashisa Ru'ua, a collapsing wall, a weak wall, which was close to collapse, the Hav ben Ardo, which was in the town of Nardo, the Lehav Cholif Rabbi Shmuel Tusa. Rabbi Shmuel were careful not to walk next to it, for fear that it might collapse on them. Avagav the Kaima Ba'astra Tres Leser Shlin, even though it was standing for 13 years. They were careful not to walk next to it. Yoy Mechad, so happens that one day, Ikla Rav Ada Bar Ava Lasim, Tzadik Rav Ada Bar Ava, came to town, and he was walking along with Rabbi Shmuel next to that wall. Amalei Shmuel or Rav, Shmuel turns to Rav. Nasi Mar, come along with me, Nakif. We'll go around the wall. Let's not go next to it. Let's be careful, as we always are. Amalei, this time, Rav tells him, Leitzrichna, there's no need to circumvent the wall. Leitzrichna ha'idna, now it's no concern. Why? Dikar Rav Ada Bar Ava Ba'adam. We have the Sadik Rada Bar Ava. The Nafish Tzchusei. He's filled with Tzchusim. He has lots of Tzchusim. Therefore, there's no concern. I'm confident in Rav Ada's chusim. I have no fear from collapsing walls. Rav Huna, havalei hu chamra. In fact, Rav Huna had a donkey which ran away, ba'u besa, and ran into this besa re'iyah, into this collapsing building. Uboy lefnuy. Rav Huna wanted to extract his lost donkey. He's afraid of walking into that structure. So what did he do? He took Rav Ada Bar Ava, and convinced him to go took him for a walk into that house, knowing that the building will not collapse while he's in there. In fact, mashchei b'shmata, he got him deeply engrossed in halacha. All the while, he managed to get his donkey out at the panya until he got his donkey out, and then he said, "Come, let's go." And they left the house. Busted enough. As soon as he left the house, nafal beis, the house collapsed. Irgish of Adamar Ava. Adamar picked up what happened there. Ikbed, he wasn't happy that he was being used as an instrument to keep houses afloat. Why? Savala kahadam rabyanai. He held like rabyanai. That said, le'olam al yamad adamakam asakana. A person should not place himself in a place of danger. The yoyman will say, "Well, recently nays. I'm confident that Hashem will do a nays for me." You know why? There's two things wrong. Number one, Shema ein oisin leinais, perhaps he won't be zeicha to a nais. And he'll be held responsible for placing himself in a makom sakon, which contravenes the concept of hishtalos. A person is meant to protect himself. Mishmartem oidaf shaseichem. That's one reason. Number two, v'im dim tzaleima oisin leinais, even if he's zeicha to experience a nais, it's not to his benefit. Menachem lo mischuyosav. They're going to deduct from his schuyos, l'asad lovei. Look, the world is meant to run its natural course. Now, if this fellow orders something unnatural, he expects a nes, which is some unnatural commodity, so to speak. He has to pay for it. With what? The only way to pay for something unnatural, something supernatural, is with supernatural currency, which is a schusim lasad lavi. Therefore, don't get involved in situations which require miracles. Therefore, Ravadava Ava was not happy with the fact that he was being used as a tool to create an ace. Amar Avchanan, Mikra, where do we find this concept in a pasuk? The Chsiv Katointi. Yaakov Avinu tells Hashem, Katointi mikol ha-chasodim mikol ha-emes. My schusim became diminished because of all the chasodim and emes you did with me. Apparently, it deducts schusim. So we speak about the tremendous power, tremendous piety of Ravada Bar Ava. Let's get a glimpse into his good deeds. Mayava uvdei de Ravada Bar Ava. What great things did he used to do? Kiyad de itma, as we learned. Shou Talmidav, Ravada Bar Ava. Ravada Bar Ava's Talmidim asked him the famous question. You're living so long. And what schus are you zeicha tarichus yomim? Ba'me herachta yomim. And what schus are you zeicha to long years? You know, they asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, when he was very advanced in age. Ba'me herachta yomim. All over brings this question. Talmidim may ask the Rebbe this question. Could you point to something specific? And Rav Yaakov thought for a moment and he said, "I think it's because I never uttered a word of sheker in my entire life." Titan emes leyakov. Emes brings long life. So this was the question they asked Rav Adabar Av. Omalem, he responded, very simple. You know why I live long? I never expressed irritation, anger inside my home, even when it's hard to keep one's cool. Inside his home, he's busy with domestic situations, b'machanach his kids. And the Ben Yehuda says, b'sech b'si means inside my heart, which means that even at times when a person does have to express external anger, external irritation, that's not real, it's not genuine, he's totally cool inside. Inside my heart, I remained cool and calm. And that contributed to long life. What's the connection? Pasuk and Eve says, Tsar yom svar roigus. A person's prone to anger. It shortens his life. Even the scientists say that. Type A personality. Anger, irritation. Chronic. Kapeda. Can heighten blood pressure, can bring chas v'shalom, k'tzar yamim. So he was the other way. Leikpati b'zeich beis. Leitza'anti b'fnei misha gadol m'meni. I never trotted before somebody who was greater than me, out of respect. Leiharti b'mavayis ha'matan office. I wouldn't think words of Torah when I was present in unclean areas, unclean alleyways. Leilachti d'alad amis b'leitorah b'leitfilm. Even when I traveled, I wouldn't walk 4 amis without film, without Torah. So here he has the schus of Torah, which is Kiyem Chayenu. And that contributed to long life. Well, Yashanti Beis HaMedrash. loishinas kva, loishinas arai. I never took a long sleep, a deep sleep, or even a short nap in the Beis Medrash. Leisasti, I never took joy and happiness, betakolas chaveray, when my colleague stumbled. I wouldn't derive hana from my friend's failures. V'loi karasi l'chaveray, I never called out to my friend b'chanechase with an improper nickname. V'amilan, some explained b'chanechase with an improper and disrespectful family surname. Amalei Rav Papa l'rafram, b'papap. Amalei Rav, l'rafram rapap. Leimulan mar, please tell us. Mehani milim al yosef. Some of those nice, good things. Those are some good stories. Dava avid Rav Huna, that Rav Huna used to do. Amalei, Rafram responded. The truth is, good things that he did in his youth, that's too far back, I don't remember. I can tell you some nice things that I saw when he was really advanced in age. When it was a Yom HaMa'unan, as she says, cloudy, windy day, they would take him out for a walk. A gold chariot, a wagon. They would carry him in this manner. He was really older, so they had to carry him around the city. And he would take a tour throughout the city as a building inspector. Any wall, the Havasri Yasa, which was precarious, which was unsteady, Havasasali. He would instruct it to have it demolished. Now, if Shalamara, if its owner had the ability to pay for a rebuilding, Banila, he would rebuild it. If the owner was not able to rebuild, he would finance rebuilding. That's number one. Every Erev Shabbos, late in the afternoon, Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, he would have a special shliach. He would send him out to the marketplace. Any vegetables that were left over, by the gardeners, vegetable dealers, Zavanle, he personally would purchase all the leftovers, v'shadle the nahara, and he would toss it into the river. We'll see soon why. Says the Gemara, one second. Tossing it into the river? Lis filani, why not just give it to the poor people? Zimnin de samcha datai was concerned that perhaps there'll be so much das, they'll rely on this. Fully asil mizban. And they'll keep away from the marketplace until right before Shabbos to get their freebies. They're not going to buy vegetables, and perhaps 1 week will come along where there won't be any leftovers. Now they won't have anything for Shabbos. So he didn't want them to rely on this. Let them feed to the animals. Because however he figured, machal adam, something which is edible to an adam, ein machil lebehema, may not be fed to an animal. Why? So you have to see Rashi here. It's about 15 lines from the bottom. Ein machil oisil lebehema. You're degrading the food, you're taking something fit for human consumption and feeding it to animals. It looks like he's rejecting. It's a lack of appreciation for the toiva that Hashem is showering to the world. He's taking something which is royal adam, giving it to an animal. It's inappropriate. Inami, another pshat, mishim dechasa toira al-mamani shal Yisrael. We find all over that. Toira is concerned about Yiddish geld, conserving Jewish money, and therefore he didn't feed it to the animals. So why did he throw it into the river? Oh, so Rashi says, v'zorak l'nar, he would toss it into the river, perhaps as like bundles, but it wouldn't get lost. V'hoichin l'makam acher, would travel over to another town, downstream, v'maytzin oisim b'nei adam, v'hoichin oisim kach shamati, where people will find it and have it there. So what's the point of this whole thing? So Gemara is the kasha, 5 lines from the bottom. V'loy liz b'nei klal, so why buy it at all? Nimtzis machshila nosa lovet. He was trying to keep the markets fresh, meaning he was concerned that the farmers might be discouraged from bringing fresh produce next week. If there's so much left over, it's not worth their while. It's not worth their efforts. And therefore, he knew better and he went and he bought all the leftovers. So they had no loss. And this would encourage them to bring fresh produce next week and the week following, etc. In fact, in several countries, and the United States has it, they have a program where they dump excess produce, tons and tons and tons of all types of food items to keep the prices high enough to make it worthwhile for the farmers to grow and to deal on these items. Otherwise, it's everybody's loss and detriment. If there's a glut of items, glut of corn or wheat, whatever, which is not going to be sold, and the prices will drop, farmers will stop growing their crops. Nobody's going to have. So there is a te'elis. And it seems from our Gemara there was no Baal Tashchis at all, because he would send it downstream, but perhaps, for lack of better alternative, you may even destroy excess produce to ensure the proper runnings of the market. So that's the second great thing that he did. First he was the building inspector, then the market inspector. Continues the Gemara, what about a third thing? Ki hava le milsa de susa. When he had in his possession some good remedy, hava mali kuze de mayu, he would fill up a pitcher, which was meant for water, he would fill it up with this type of good thing, which can be used for refuah, and he made it available to all. Vitali besifa de base, he would hang it up, besifa, that's the post of his door, doorpost outside, v'amar, and he would announce, call the boy, anybody who wants, leisei v'lishkol, come take. V'ikadam, some explain, that it was milsa de shifsa, have a gummer. He had learned about milsa de shifsa, Rashi says, shifsa is like a shade, which would strike somebody who would sit down to eat without washing his hands. So milsa, this phenomenon, the shifsa of the shevis shade, have a gummer, he had learned. And therefore he was concerned that people might eat without washing their hands, and he made water available for all. Of a monach, he would place kuza de maya, this pitcher of water, v'dali lay, and hang it up by his doorway, v'amar, kol etzarech, leisei v'le'el, whoever needs, come in and wash their hands, lo l'stakin, so that he avoids sakon. Kevakorach rifta, he would sit down to have his bread, have a pasach lebava, he would open up, bava, bava is the door, the gateway, he would open up his doorways, V'omar, and he would announce, like by Pesach, Kol man de tzarech leisei v'le'el, anybody in need, come in and join me in my meal. Omar Rava. So Rava was the one who asked Raphram for this information. So Rava now, having heard the great things that Rav Huna used to do, 1, 2, and 3, Rava responded, you know what? Kulu matzinu l'mekayma. I have the ability to follow in his footsteps. I can do everything that he did. Levar moha, except for this last one, to offer bread to all, I can't do. It's beyond my ability. Dili matzinu l'ma, but that I can't do. Mishum denefishi, because there are so many. B'nei chela de mechayza. Rashi learns there are so many anim and mechayza, all my supplies will be quickly depleted. So unfortunately, B'nei Chela, the army fellows, there was a garrison, some barracks there, and if I have an open invitation, I'm going to be flooded, and I can't handle it. Okay, so we learned about the three tzaddikim, Moshe, Yeshua, and Nakdim and Megorion, who was Zeicha to have the mass of Bereshis switched around for them. The world came to a standstill, the sun stopped moving. We learned about the various things that appear as an expression of klal to klal Yisrael, but really they contain a blessing in disguise. We learned about lo'ilam yehi adam rach kekana, and that wonderful story involving Rav Elazar ben Shimon, Rav Ada bar Ava's great tzchusim. He kept the building up, and explained, attributed to lack of kas, immersion in Torah. We learned about the three things that Rav Huna used to do: inspect the walls and fix them when necessary. And he was generous with his refuahs, with his water, and with his bread. Hatzlacha Rabbah.